Well, a hearty welcome to everyone that's come tonight. Let's start with number 24. Perhaps someone could start it for us. Number 24. The question for you tonight is, will you be there? And our prayer is that you will be, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we just would like to start with a little prayer and ask for help. Our God and our Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to once more hear the story of thy love. How thou dost send the dearest object of thy heart, thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven down to this earth, to live here perfectly, and then to give his life on the cross, so that sinners, like each one of us, could be saved from our sins. And we look forward to the day when we get to go to heaven. Blessed God, those of us who have given our lives to thee, who have accepted thee as our Savior, Lord Jesus, who believe that thou didst die on the cross for us so long ago. But we're fearful that there might be one, or maybe more, who have never accepted thee, Lord Jesus, as their own Savior, who won't be there. And we fear for them. We pray that they'll listen and turn to thee, the God of love, And so we give thanks now. We ask for thy help. Help us to have the right words, to turn to the right scriptures, and that thy Spirit, our God, will work here tonight. There may be blessing for eternity. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, my day started at 3:30 this morning. I don't want to talk about me, but I woke up and I didn't feel well. And as I laid in bed, there was a verse that kept going through my mind again and again. And it goes like this. It's found in the book of Acts. And it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We must. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. It's solemn. And our desire is that there would be nobody here tonight who would go to hell. I've said before, and I really believe this, that if people knew how bad hell was, they would never tell someone to go there. You've heard it. You've also heard people take the name of Jesus Christ in vain, haven't you? The man who gave himself so that people like me could go to heaven. And people curse that name. I heard a story this weekend, a sad story. A story about a lady that was 100 years old. Somebody said about this lady that she could still play poker at 100 as well as most people. To me, it was a tragedy. Now, I want to speak to the people in this room. How many times have you heard the gospel? And are you going to be there? How long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait too long? The Lord may come. You may lose your life. And you may just put it off and put it off and put it off until you're 100. Maybe you'll do really well in this world. But compared to eternity, you know, I often go to a retirement home. I make a comment like this now quite regularly. In a million years, will it matter how much money you have? Will it matter what you did in life in terms of an education? What school you went to? What your profession was? In a million years, will it matter? But tonight, it will matter if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ here and you're lost. And on your way to hell, in a million years, it will matter. I want to tell you a story about another man. There's a brother in the meeting where I go to at home. And he used to go to a retirement home. And there was a man that was always making fun. They would sing hymns and someone would speak, and this man would, "Oh, no, I don't need that stuff." One time, Brother Dave was walking down the hall, and this man's room was right at the end of the hall. I love this story. I've told it before, and if you've heard it, sorry. This old man was sitting on his bed, and he was bawling his eyes out. And Brother Dave went to him and he said, Hey, is there a problem? And the man had a letter in his hand. When you turn 100 years old in Canada, you get a letter from the Queen. Now it's the King, King Charles. And it congratulates you for making 100 years. And this man had got this letter from Queen Elizabeth. And he was bawling his eyes out. He said to Dave, "I waited 100 years to get saved, the Lord waited that long for me. How long have you waited? How old are you? Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? He wants you to come just as you are tonight. If you haven't come, come. Get to go to heaven. That's why we come to meetings like this. It's true, we heard tremendous things that encouraged our souls, that challenged our hearts as believers. But if there's somebody here and you're not saved, this is your opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus and have your sins forgiven. We heard last night about the greatness of God and how powerful He is. And you know how insignificant we really are? Why does God love you enough to have you here tonight to hear another gospel meeting? Why? You're so little compared to Him. You know, there's a little periodical that BTP puts out called The Christian. A couple of months ago, there was an article by Mr. Gill. I think he's been gone for quite a few years, but he's a brother that was from here in California. And he wrote an article about the stars. And he said then, now that's a long time ago, he said, if you take every grain of sand from the seashore around the world, there's 10,000 stars for every grain of sand. 10,000! There's some pictures, if you're interested, from the space camera that the EU is getting pictures back about more galaxies and more stars that they're finding as this telescope goes farther, or the camera goes farther and farther out into space. But, I mean, it's hard for me to believe it. 10,000 stars for every grain of sand? And people say that they don't want to know a God like that? You have the privilege to get to know Him tonight as your Savior, God. That same God, He made everything. But He loved me enough to send His Son to die in this world. That's what's incredible to me. He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. I have four boys. Would I send one of them to die knowing that they were going to be to die? Knowing that they would be treated so terribly as Jesus was? Would I send one? No. God did. He sent His only Son for you and for me. Praise God. And I hope each one of us in this room tonight not only is praying to help me to say the right things and praying for people who have never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior yet, but thank Him for what He has done. Thank God for sending His Son for you. Just before we came, I saw a phenomena at home that I'd never seen in all the years that I've lived in Eastern Canada where I'm from. Usually what happens when we have a transition type weather, it goes cold and then warm, or warm and then cold. This time, it started to rain, but then it got cold. So all the rain started to turn to ice. And the ice started to accumulate on all the branches of the trees. It was beautiful. And then it started to snow. And the snow came. And the snow came. And the snow came. We got 3 inches of snow. The trees were absolutely beautiful. Who could do that but God? You know, it's such a privilege to know God. To be able just to say, you know, that's absolutely beautiful. And to praise God for what He can do in creation. But then, what about His Son? Have we praised Him for sending His Son to die on the cross, to shed His precious blood, to wash our sins away? Have we thanked Him today? What a privilege. We can talk to God. We can bring His beloved Son before Him and honor the Son. What a privilege we have. But if there's somebody here and you have no love for God, you have no love for the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary, tonight this meeting is for you. Come to the Lord Jesus. Accept Him as your Savior. He'll take you just as you are. What I hadn't seen before, my whole 61 years, I had never seen a scenario where the snow came and then no sun for a week. Usually, the next day after a storm, the sun comes out and everything melts from the sun. Not this time. One day went by, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and this beautiful picture that God painted across eastern Ontario and western Quebec for hundreds of miles, millions of trees, was there for people to see for a whole week. His power, His beauty, His incredible wisdom. That's the God we have to deal with. You know, God loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to turn to a story that was referred to earlier in the meetings in the book of Luke. This is the book that we're taking up right now at the retirement home. At home. A tremendous book. Perhaps the only gospel that was written by a Gentile like me. Someone that's not a Jew. Not one of God's chosen earthly people. But by the grace of God, I'm one of God's heavenly people. Destined for glory. I'm going to be there. And you know, each one of us, I hope we can say, I'm going to be there too. If you can't say you're going to be there, then listen to this story. So in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, we read this story. And I'm going to read it. We're going to talk about it a little bit. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, Have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf or chasm fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I find it very interesting that we have the name of the beggar. I'm the beggar. I don't deserve the blessing of God. Neither did Lazarus, but he got it. And he's named here. You know, I look forward to the day when I get to go to heaven. And I get to see the Lord Jesus who died for me. I'm looking forward to seeing Lazarus too. I'm looking forward to talk to this man. You know, there's a little bit given here in this story about Lazarus. Not very much. But he lived here as a man, just like you and just like me. But you know, there's a difference between Lazarus and between him and the rich man. Somewhere in Lazarus's life, he got to know God. Do you know God? Do you know his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? I ask you, never mind the person beside you, what about you? It's very personal. And that's why the Spirit of God gives us the man's name, Lazarus. And you know, it's only in the book of Luke that we have this story. And you know, Lazarus is a Greek name, just like Luke. And it was important to Luke to record the name of this man. This is a story that happened. And you know, God tells us a little bit about a few people in the Bible because he wants us to learn from it. That's why he tells us. Now, what's interesting about Lazarus is it means it's the equivalent of Eliezer. And that's why it was very common. We read about other Lazaruses too. God has aided. God's helped me. He took me like a beggar from the dunghill and lifted me up, and he's going to take me to glory. I don't deserve that. Lazarus was a beggar. Have you taken your place as a sinner before God, deserving the punishment for your sins, but seeking Jesus as your Savior to pay for every one of those sins? Have you ever come and been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus? These dogs came and licked his sores. You ever got licked by a dog? You ever got licked on a sore by a dog? It's gross. That's what this man had to experience. But guess what? He got to be in Abraham's bosom because of his relationship with God. What a privilege. You know, there's situations that sometimes we are called to go through that are difficult. But that's not the end of the story for a Christian. The glory is the end. And it's great. And is there somebody here that's going to miss out? That's not going to be there? You know, we sang at the beginning, will you be there? And I'm going to be. And I can assure you, it's not because I'm good. It's because Jesus paid for me. That's why. Has Jesus paid for you? Have you had your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? That's what's available tonight for you. When I woke up this morning at 3:30, I didn't feel good. I had a pain in my stomach, and I felt sick. While I was laying there hour after hour, I was thinking about standing up here tonight, wondering if I would have the privilege to represent my Lord. But I was thinking about you. You who have said no to Jesus Christ. You know, I had a little pain in my stomach. This man was in flames. In torment. And you know, we learned earlier in the conference that he wasn't even in hell yet. He was in the waiting place. Apart from his body, but his never dying soul still existed. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You're a living soul. You're never going to die. Eternally, unless you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then it talks about the second death. That is a solemn thing, to have to go to hell. And our desire is that there wouldn't be one that would not be in glory. Now, I want to make it personal. But I'm sorry for talking a little bit about me. I grew up as a boy in a pretty good-sized assembly. There was 10 guys that were plus or minus a year from me. 10. There's only 2 or 3 of us that still come to the assembly. Where are the rest? Where are they? You know, there's one that won't even talk to me. That I grew up with. I used to sit on the back row. And that same guy laughed with me. And I'm ashamed of that. In the breaking of bread. Where is he now? I don't even know. I haven't seen him for years. But he won't talk to me either when I do see him. There's others that have no interest in the things of the Lord. There's some that have some. I'm very thankful for that. But you boys and girls, young people, it's an individual thing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not to give up. May we be encouraged. Well, this rich man says in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The Jews look forward to that. It was comforting. It was something that they looked forward to be associated with the great father of faith, Abraham. But this rich man was not. It says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Just the tip. The tip of his finger. You know, I used to think, oh, dip his finger in the water. No, it's just the tip. That's not a very much amount of water. But that's how bad it was. And he wasn't even in hell yet. He hasn't stood before the great white throne, and we read about in Revelation chapter 20 yet. But he will. And if there's somebody here tonight, and you've said no, I don't want to get saved. May it be that that will not be your portion. That you want just a tip of someone's finger to wet your tongue for the flame and the terror and the torment that you're experiencing even before you get to hell. That's worse. Verse 25 talks about the good things that he had in life. You know, there's some people that are willing to trade this world for heaven. I know some. And maybe you do too. But is there somebody here in this room tonight that's willing to trade this world for heaven? Remember I said, in a million years? Will it be worth it to have all the things that you want now and to miss out on heaven? No, it won't be worth it. So come tonight. Accept the Lord Jesus yourself. We each need him. It's a personal thing. He loves us, each one of us, personally. Verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to you that would come from thence. This gives me another thought. I want to talk about privilege for a minute. You're privileged to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you that. Privileged to hear the Word of God. Privileged to be in the family that you were born into. You didn't pick it. God did that. Perhaps your parents brought you here. And you're saying, boy, I wish I didn't have to sit through another gospel meeting. But you know what? God gave you tremendous privilege. I don't have my wallet on me, but I carry some of those little blue pocket calendars. There's a brother in Belgium that is amazing at giving them out. And I'm a bit of a chicken. So on the trip, I decided that I would bring six and ask the Lord to help me to be able to give them out. I still have one left. I gave out five. One of the ones I gave out was at a gas station in Phoenix last week. We were on our way to turn in a rental car. I didn't have much time. I handed it to the lady at the desk. She looked at it, turned it over, turned it back over. It says at the top, it says peace. You know what she said? That's what I need. That's what I need. I talked to her a little bit about the gospel, and then I had to go. But the verses there will direct her to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was thinking about her. What kind of opportunity has she had in life? Were her parents Christians? I don't know. Did she grow up in the United States? I don't know. She had a little paper and she said, "I need peace." What kind of opportunity have you been given by God in grace to your soul? What kind of opportunity has God given you? Tremendous opportunity. I'll answer it for you. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to say, "Oh, that's not important. That opportunity, that wonderful gift that God has given to me, His Son, no, I'm not interested in that. The family that I've been born into, oh, I don't, that's really not that important. That's really not a gift from God." Really? Tonight, realize what God is offering you and what God has given you. You have so much. You know, we're all rich materially. Living in Canada or United States, we have everything. People want to come here by the thousands. Why? Because we have such advantage. God has given us tremendous opportunity. And tonight, the Lord Jesus has His arms outstretched and He says, "Come." We heard that in the meeting. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a wonderful promise, and it's true. Tonight, if you haven't come, the Lord Jesus says, "Come." Now, I want to turn over one page. I think this was referenced as well. In chapter 18. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of it as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," or "the sinner." It's very personal. So here we have two men again. We had Lazarus and the rich man. Two destinies. Here we have two men. Very different. Two destinies. What's yours? Mine is with the Lord Jesus Christ. What about yours? You know, I believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for me. Do you believe that? Have you ever asked God for forgiveness of your sins and confess them to Him? And ask that the Lord Jesus could be your Savior? Have you done that? What a tragedy if you haven't. You know, I've gone to conferences for a long time. I used to always look forward to the last gospel meeting, when there would be one last opportunity for people to come. But I can tell you, I used to look forward to the last gospel meeting when I wasn't saved either. And I could remember being thankful when the conference was over and I could go home. What a tragedy that is. Is there somebody here like that? this is the last gospel meeting, and you say, then it's done. I can go. Don't be like that. You know, the Lord Jesus saved my soul. Did I deserve it? No. But he did. And I love him for that. And you know, if there's somebody here and you can't wait till this meeting's over, accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior too. It's worth it. It's the best thing you can do. Now we're going to turn over to chapter 23. We're going to read one more verse. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. We're going to end on this verse. Last night and the night before, we had the privilege to hear about God's love, about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. This verse is the only verse in the Bible that mentions the name Calvary. Again, it's the Greek. Luke, Calvary. Let me ask you, what does Calvary mean to you? Is that where your Savior died for you? Or is Calvary just one word in the Bible that has no relevance to you? Calvary is where Jesus, my Savior, died for me. That's where. I love that name, Calvary. Why? Because the love of the Lord Jesus for me was shown there fully. Is there somebody here tonight that's uncomfortable with that? They can't say that the Lord Jesus died for me at Calvary. If you can't say that, you have a problem. And you're on your way to hell. And in a million years, it's going to matter what you decide tonight. The Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, come unto me. Come. Come. Don't say no. Don't say no. You know, in the last stanza of the hymn we sang at the beginning, it says, if you take the loving Savior now, who for sinners once did die, when he gathers his own in that bright home, then you'll be there, and I. Based on what it says in this blessed book, I'm going to be there. Can you say, me too? My desire is that everyone here would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And could say, I love him. He's my Savior. I love Calvary. He died there for me. He took my sins and paid for every one of them. And now, I'm going to be there too. Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, who came from heaven and died on Calvary's cross. Tonight we've had before us a number of people, some in recent years, who have been saved, some who have not. We think of Lazarus and the rich man. Two destinies, the same opportunity. And again, two men, two destinies, the same opportunity. And our God and Father, we think of how tonight there is an opportunity for each person here to come and accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. To realize that when He died on the cross of Calvary, when He shed His blood, it was shed for them. And we just pray if there's anyone who is on their way to hell, who is not saved, who is not trusting in the Lord Jesus and His work on the cross, that they may come tonight. So we ask for blessing of souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen.